start reading in verse number 1. For sake of time, now the Philistines gathered together their armies. What you've got to realize, this isn't a play toy. This isn't a game in life that you just decide to come to church. And many of you, you've heard the devil preached about so long that you really don't even believe in hell or the devil. Because if you believed in hell, you'd get saved. If you really believed in hell, you'd get saved. And I'm going to tell you, there's a real devil. And so he has an army. And you better realize he's relentless. And if you're going to do anything for God, you better be getting it done. Some of you say, well, preacher, I believe in Jesus. Well, let me ask you this. If you believe in Jesus, why don't you believe what he says? Because he's put a lot in this book to help us and to warn us and to strengthen us and to direct us. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle. They were gathered together at Shaka, which belonged to Judah. They pitched between these places, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they pitched in the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side. Israel stood a mountain on the other side. There was a valley between them. There went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Thank y'all for standing this morning. I'm interested in that text verse where it said that he emphasized this word camp. He said that the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, valley between them. There went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath. We've been preaching on the thought of the giants or the battles of our life. Boy, how the giants come against our families. 50% of marriages in America doesn't work out. And if it's ever been a time that the devil is battling against the home, and it is my opinion, he would love to not only stomp out this generation, but he would love to stamp out a generation to come that know nothing about God. Now, I want to say something, Brother Chris, if you'd turn me off 1 second by way of internet radio that they cannot hear. Oh my, how we need teaching. How we need to learn Bible doctrines back in our Baptist churches. It's not so much just because the preacher said it. What does your Bible teach you? We ought to get in the Word of God and find out what it says. Daily devotions, daily Bible study. Praying every day in a prayer place. Oh, how we need to stand up in these last days and be accounted for. Now, I want you to notice this battle is raging at the camp. It's not changed today. Anybody that wants to stand up for God, the devil's still raging against their camp. And there is a lot of camps around America, but I'm glad I'm in God's camp this morning. Now I'm glad I've got people involved that is in this battlefield that I'm walking in. And as I got to noticing, not only is the giants after our family, and by the way, sir, he's after your family. I don't care if you've been married 50 years. The devil is after your family. He wants to mock you and destroy you and tear down all of your testimony. You know something that really bothers me, Brother Driver, is influence, is testimony, is witness. When I walk in front of my children and my grandchildren and my family, I don't want them to think about what I used to do for God. I want to finish right more than any day in my life. Oh, I want to finish right. And I've noticed now that in this camp, not only is the devil after our families, the devil loves to mess with us with our flesh. Boy, how that flesh is wicked on all of us. None of us had better ever trust our flesh. Our flesh is not sanctified. Our flesh is not saved, just our spirit and soul. You better watch your flesh till the day that you die. Boy, the battles of the family, battles of the flesh. But then this morning, I want to deal on battles at the fort. Battles at the fort. The word camp came up. There were two camps or two forts, so to speak. And the battle was raging. I got to looking in verse number 34 as David comes along. And the Bible said in verse 31, now the battle is raging. David has been anointed by Samuel. The Spirit of the Lord has been removed from Saul. He's king. Well, when you hate to be standing in a place of leadership without the touch of God on you. The Spirit of God hath withdrawn, and the Bible said God's been a hindering or an evil spirit to Saul to trouble him. No longer had he enjoyed the sweet presence of God, but now this man standing beside, reminiscing what he used to do before he went and disminded God. You see, God told him to go kill Agag and all that mob, but he brought him back alive and got everything that looked good and put in the camp. Samuel came by and he said, since that you've disobeyed the voice of God, I'm going to raise up a new king. Let me tell you something, there's a lot of people, they're focusing on their anointing instead of focusing on keeping their anointing. And I'm going to tell you something. You'll not have the power of God unless you mind God and you obey God and you walk with God. And there's ever been a time that leadership needs the touch of God. It is this morning. We need the touch of God back in our country, and we need the touch of God back in our churches. Now we got comedians fill the pulpit. No convictions, no character, no power in their lives. Saul's trying to lead Israel now in a battle. I'd ask you something this morning in this great text of passage. Saul was a mighty big man. He was waist and shoulders above the average man. Well, let me tell you, he was so big, why didn't he walk out and face Goliath? Because he had lost the touch of God. And I'm going to tell you this morning, all of a sudden Samuel comes along. There's 8 young'uns of Jesse. He looks and God has sent the old prophet to anoint a new king in Israel. He walks up and he sees all of the boys and he says, now is this all you've got? He said, I've got one left. He said, but he's tending sheep over there in the field. He said, bring him up to me. And when he saw David, God said, that's him, anoint him. I said all that to say this, people may not know who you are or where you are, but God knows where you are this morning. And therefore, God brought David up to the limelight and he anointed him king as a young man. Now Saul the king standing trying to lead the people of Israel without the touch of God. I'd rather die than not have the touch of God. And can you imagine feeling the presence and the power of God as king? Now you're looking around and giants have made you put your armor away. Giants have made you get on the sideline in the battle that you ought to be in yourself. Now God raises up a little stripling of a boy named David. He comes and they make fun of him. Matter of fact, you'll pick it up now in verse number 28 of 1 Samuel 17. The Bible said, Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake, and the men in Eliab's anger was kindled against David and said, why camest thou down hither? With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I said, I know the pride and the naughtiness of your heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said these words, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Verse 31, now the battle's raging over the flock. Watch your Bible. When the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear, and watch what he done. He took a lamb out of the flock. Now I want to tell you, one of the giants that come against the fort or against the flock, oh, they love the little ones. You'll notice in a church like this, you'll notice how the devil does. The devil loves to come upon the weak. Oh, yes, he does attack the strong. And yes, he does strike the strong. But I'm going to tell you, the devil is after the little lambs of the flock. Oh, how the devil would love to knock all these children out from the preaching of the Word of God. How the devil would love to get the little lambs out from under the presence of God. Well, how does he do that? Well, I don't know if it's dawned on you or not. But when you've pastored long as I have, a light start coming on. This age can't drive. So this is what the devil says. If I can't get them, I'll get their mom and daddy. If I can get their mom and daddy out of church and I've got the little ones, listen, mom and daddy, get some glue in your britches. Get some stuff in your guts this morning and realize there's a battle raging at the house of God. Now, he came after these little lambs. I'm gonna tell you something this morning. You cannot make me believe any other thing. It's hard enough for young people to be raised in a Bible-preaching church under a mom and daddy. It's hard enough to get them children raised right and get them on the right track so much this world's got to offer. But I tell you what I'm convinced about. They've got a lot better chance being under the preaching of the Word of God and in an environment of a church where God is moving and ministering. You can't tell me that their odds and their chances are a lot greater than those that know nothing about what's going on here this morning. Oh, I'm going to tell you today, the devil's always been after the little lamb. So, what does the giant do when he comes after the fort? First of all, he loves to devour the flock. He loves to devour the flock. It would be so refreshing. Now, it's not been long ago. I don't understand people. And if you can just ever write a book where you can understand people, you're going to go a long way. I don't understand people. I don't understand what people's looking for in a church. I don't understand people. If you've got a man that's hooked up in the Holy Ghost preaching the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus, and if you've got God in your church, and you got the right Bible in your church, you got the right music in your church, and you got a pretty church and a padded pew church and an air conditioning church, what else would people want in church? What else? See, people come in and say, "Well, now I'm going to look something, because I know he's going to say something a little bit I won't like." Well, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen. You know I'm going to say something you don't like. If I'm a preacher, matter of fact, I'm commissioned to say some things you won't like. God's preacher is going to say some things to make you turn your head out. But it's no reason one sermon to get up and blow out of the church house. What about the other 5,000 that's been effective and helped you? People so fickle. But I've noticed this, God is good. And I'm going to tell you, the devil attacks the fort. He loves to devour the flock. Mom and daddies, be careful. What you don't understand is, you've got a lot at stake with what God has given you and entrusted you. Has it ever dawned on you? A lot of y'all live just like you're never going to face God with no responsibilities. Don't you realize if you brought children in this world, you're going to give an account of how you've raised them babies? You're going to stand before God. You won't have enough money to pay Him off that day. You're not going to know somebody enough to get you out of the trouble. We're all going to give an account unto God individually of what He's entrusted us with. I'm going to give an account for this ministry. You say, "Well, I wish Brother Ken gets so-and-so to preach." Won't you mind your business and leave the preaching up to me and God? I'm going to give an account for this place, for this pulpit. I'm going to give an account of what's taught out of this pulpit. Not you, I am. I'm the under-shepherd. And I'm going to give an account for my children. I believe I'm going to give an account of to whom much is given, much is required. And you better believe this. If God's given me great light, He's going to give me accountable for even my grandchildren. You say, well, you ought to not spank your grandchildren. Well, I don't like it, but I will tear their britches up. Amen. I'm going to teach them what their name is. I'm going to teach them I'm Grandpa and I still got a razor strap. Somebody say amen right there. Some of y'all this time out ain't working for you youngins. You need to get back to what worked way back yonder. Get you a good belt and write town out on it. Put it on a nail on the wall. Somebody say amen. And every now and then you need to turn around and stripe yourself with it. This morning, I've noticed the devil rages against the flock. He loves to devour the flock. You'll notice the Bible simply said in 34, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. Let me ask y'all something. Now, I've got a pastor's heart. It just tears my heart out to see families struggling. But you know, it's not so much to see families struggling. That's what tears my heart out. Just to see a family just get out of church. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you've got struggles, and if you'll stay where God's at, you'll get through your struggles. Me and my wife, 35 years, we've had a whole bunch of struggles. We've had children struggles. We've had financial struggles. We've had people struggles. I mean, we've had all kinds of stuff. But you know what has helped me, Brother Tim? Just like a while ago when we were singing them old songs and God come in the building, it let me get up out of my trouble and get to see Him in His world to realize there is a heaven to gain. And this Bible's real. And God is so good to His children. And if you miss all that, you're going to lose in your struggles. The battle's raging. A lot of you say, well, I wish you'd come to church and hear our preacher preach. I wish some of y'all would hear your own preacher preach. He loves to devour the flock. Secondly, I've noticed when he comes against the camp, he loves to get us to deny our faith. Verse 33, Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Boy, he'd love to get you to deny your faith. David said, is there not a cause? You know, when our faith is not increased, when we're not in our Bible, there's no place our faith can go but down. Watch. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so, Saul said, you can't go out there, you're too little. But what Saul realized, he was too big and couldn't go, but David stayed little and God could use him. Maybe the reason that you're not winning battles, you're too big. God wants us little. Stay little. Realize you can't do it without the Lord. Listen, this is a faith thing. My bills ain't adding up. You ever notice faith is never convenient? Faith is not convenient. If you want to please God, you got to have faith about you. I believe faith can take us places that nothing else can take us. God wants His children to walk by faith. I'm going to tell you in this missions program, I made a vow to God earlier in the year. I'm going to start giving more to missions every month. I wrote that check this morning. You know what? It hurt. If I can't feel when I give God, it don't mean nothing to Him. Amen. And some of you can do with that whatever you want to do with it. But I tell you one thing, I'm a trusting God to help me with my finances. I've got a God that's so faithful, He owns the cattle of 1,000 hill. And I love what the old preacher said, honey, He even owns the taters under the hill. God can do anything. Just trust Him. Trust Him. Faith is not sight. Faith is taking God as His Word. God's Word can be trusted. And so, therefore, when He comes against the camp, He loves to devour the flock. He loves to get us to deny our faith. Let me ask you something. Where has faith taken you in your life? I'm talking about taking God at His Word of what He said and accessing His goodness and His promises by your faith. Some of you need to start operating by faith. Quit looking at everything. Let me tell you, God's numbers don't add up. I kept looking many times for God to send some rich families in this church to bring the money that we needed. But you know, a light come on me one day. I've never met many real wealthy families that didn't want to run everything. I mean, I know all of y'all. We're all so much alike. I wondered why God let a man come by and get our money one day, so I could get down and preach on the people's level I'm pastoring. That don't mean nothing to some of y'all. Some of y'all still thinking about the Oscar Mayer's $4 the Piggly Wiggly you're going to put on the grill this evening. Some of you need your faith increased. You're not going to do nothing for God without faith. Faith is big to God. Without faith, you can't please Him. Faith is never convenient. It's simply trusting God in what He said is enough. And what He said is enough. God is so good. I want to say something right there just a minute. I don't want to leave on no bad note. God let somebody come in our life and take a lot. It wasn't a fortune, but I'll tell you this, when they get most of what you got and you ain't got nothing left, it was a whole lot. But you know what? I've got more than I've ever had. And I hit the ground on my backside, scooting down the road, friend. And when you hit like that, it hurts. You hear me this morning? But boy, look how good God's been. And if God would have sent a bunch of big shots down here to run things, you wouldn't have the preacher preaching to you this morning. I ain't got a check in and no committee. Ain't nobody got me in the back room saying, y'all not said this. Honey, you in a church where the door ain't locked for the glory of God. And now when something gets done, we say, wow. Ain't you amazing? Hey, could y'all just imagine five families preaching on a high chair? Nearly 20 years ago, we passed a hat around a thing. We said we could take up about $540 a week out of five families. Now, that's some tithers right there. You asked them. These two men seen the hat passed. Me and Brother Mike, we sat down with the architects, Brother Rodney. We wanted this building. We was over there at a storefront. It was so many people there. There was a window unit stuck in a crack in the wall. I mean, it couldn't blow enough Freon out. I'd leave there, my socks is wet. We needed a building. We went over yonder. Brother David Robinson's here. His daddy was the last member of that church right out yonder at the river. There's an old church sitting there, plumb empty. I went to Brother David's daddy. I said, could we use that church? He said, sure, son. He said, you give me $1 a year and keep the grass cut and it's yours. Praise God. You talking about a little boy on the battlefield. Man, I was so encouraged. Me and Brother Mike tore out down there. I stuck the key in that door. I said, boy, ain't this good. That man's going to let us have his church. I walked in and God said, get out of here. I said, but we got bathrooms. We got a building. We got parking. God said, I'm going to give you a lot greater than that if you'll just trust me. If you'll just trust me, I'm going to do things for you like you've never seen. Man, we come home, my dad-in-law. You know, anybody had a dad-in-law that knows everything stubborner than a mule in the barn? Anybody ever been in one of them families? I come by and he said, hey, he said, you ever thought about that old farm out yonder by that Legion Hall, growed up with that kudzu? I said, I wouldn't put a church by a beer joint. And guess what? God give us this property. there's a few of us went to holding hands out here in a kudzu patch, and this is the gospel truth. A woman called the law on us across the road. Thought we was crazy. Out praying, holding hands. She called the law, said, they're doing something crazy across the road. God give us this property. Drive this building in. Went downstairs till we got a little bit of money. Brother Rodney, I'll never forget that Wednesday night I brought you up right there. And I said, Brother Rodney, God just showed me how to do that. You think you can do that? I wanted that round stage and them columns. I'm telling you, God is my witness. He showed me every bit of picture of that. Brother Rodney looked at me. He's a building. He thought, square'd be a lot easier. Now, remember what he said? He shook his head. He said, I can do it, preacher. Man, we come up here one morning, working here at 3 o'clock in the morning, driving rafters on this stage, painted this ceiling. Men come and stenciled it up and put it up at night after their jobs. Man, we was working. God with us. Went downstairs. Man, when God knew something, walked up here and said, my goodness. Now, if a man would have built it, nobody said, my goodness. But when you get a handful of country people together, you get to looking about how big your God is, your worship may pick up a little bit. You go back to your house and realize you've not put that grass in the yard. You've not put that food in the cupboard. There's a God of glory that's been good to you this morning. There's some boys out here playing ball in that old Legion Hall that even turned it into a gay club in Bowden, Georgia. Put their rainbow banners up. Ain't that amazing in Bowden, Georgia? Look on up here, get you some preaching now. Man, this playing ball down here at the church, lightning struck that C&D and they called me at the house. Said, preacher, the old Legion Hall, lightning struck, it's on fire. You want me to call the fire department? I said, praise God, throw gas on it for the glory of God. And it burnt to the ground. Brought a dumpster in and hauled every bit of that filth off this property. Put a camp meeting pavilion. Knocked one side of the wall out. Added a wing for the glory of God. Now guess what? I don't know one family that made it happen. And I'm glad God brought me through that cycle to realize you ain't got to have somebody. You got to have somebody. Hallelujah. Hey, hey, my God can do anything for you. He's done it for me. And my God can do anything this morning. Anything. Seen sinners come. People say, well, they'll never get saved. Where, Brother Barrett? Stand up, Brother Barrett. Stand up right here. I'm going to start taking him to some camp meetings with me. Amen. I love it when you hug him, you hit him about waist high. You say, well, God can't do that. God's done that. That same man, Brother Larry, he meant well because he's a good man. My dad-in-law's been good to me. But he found out 35 years ago I was smoking weed and he told my little wife, send him back where you got him. But he forgot about something. There's going to be an old preacher come in my trailer one Saturday. There I was, rolling that weed. Smoking that weed, man. I was getting rid of all my trouble when I was high. But when I come down, there was all my trouble. I heard the gravel rustling out my driveway. Now I looked out and I said, oh no, there's that old preacher's been preaching. God is my witness. He knows I'm telling it right. I grabbed that bag of weed I was rolling on Saturday morning. I folded it on the couch cushion. Out come the old man of God, German, shot his legs out from under him. He walked up to my little old trailer door. You know, Brother David, if he had knocked on it very hard, his hand would have went through that holler car door. I said, hi, preacher. He come in. I was real nervous, you know, like some of y'all are right now. He come right over that little old couch. We had one of them vinyl couches. Anybody remember them old brown vinyl couches somebody give us? Springs. You get off in it, they'd sing a song, Victory in Jesus. That old man of God come in, Brother Felton. Little did I know. He sat right down on top of my devil that morning. I said, "Oh Lord, he's going to find it. As sure as the world, he's going to find it." I'm sitting there listening. This is what he said. He said, "Ken, you ever been saved? And I'm going to tell you what, I got past scared that morning. I got to believe in what this Bible said. Days of hell is real. Matter of fact, I tell you how bad I'd got. Megan was a little old bitty girl. Renee would go bathe that baby in the back. And I was so addicted. I'd build a fire up, Brother Jake, in the fireplace because Renee hated it so. I'd get close to that fire and I'd blow that weed up the chimney so she couldn't smell it. And God talking to me the whole time, your face, you just think it's hot against this fire. You wait till you die and go to hell." She'd dry that little old baby off and bring her in there in the living room. Man, I tell you, we didn't have nothing. All she had was a man that had a bad, bad habit because I got around the wrong crowd. But one day Jesus come. That was on Saturday. That next Sunday morning I got saved. And you asked her from that day forward, I could put on a calendar where God began to start blessing our life and start helping me. And it's been one step of faith at a time. We'd have to have child trouble. God, I got to believe you to get through this. We'd have church trouble. I'd say, "Oh God, I don't know what to do, but I've got to believe you through this." One step at a time by faith. God has done things that you and me could never do because He is a God that honors faith. This morning I've noticed when this giant comes to the camp, not only does he love to devour the flock, deny the faith, he loves for us to distort our focus. David looked and he said, "The battle is the Lord's." You know, it hurts me when families leave. I wouldn't be much of a preacher to tell you. If you'd leave, it'd hurt me. Because it does hurt me. And I get to thinking, well, God, why this, why that? But then we got to realize something. The battle is the Lord's. And there's not a greater captain than Him. You say, "Well, Lord, why does this battle come to my house?" You've got to realize this. Don't lose your focus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't look at your trouble. Remember, Peter done good going to Jesus till he looked around. And he began to see, keep your eyes focused on Jesus and He'll bring you through it. I promise you. I promise you, He's our great captain and He will bring you through anything in your life. He can bring you through it. And boy, how the devil loves us to distort our focus. Then in 49, he reached in a shepherd's bag, got him a stone. He loves for us, watch this, to discontinue our fight. He'd love for you to just throw your hands down and say, "This ain't worth it." Well, I want to tell you something. You say, "Well, preacher, this ain't good." Well, do you remember before God saved you? That wasn't good either. This is a lot better than where you was. It may be rough now, but you got somebody with you, Miss Julie. May be rough right now. You know, I thought about this a lot. When Noah went in that ark, it got bad in there. Let me tell you, that wasn't no float party. That was a storm this man was in. But it was something about it. He was safe in the ark. And I don't care how bad it got bad in there. It was a lot better in there than what was going on out there. And you better realize one thing this morning. In Christ Jesus, boy, it's a lot better in there than it is out there. How the devil will love for you to discontinue your fight. Daddies, listen to me. You've got to stand your ground and fight for your family. Fight for your children. I had this thought yesterday. Jesus told us we were to love our wife as as He loved the church. Is there any men in here would die for their wife? He died for the church. Sir, would you die for your wife? Would you die for your children? It's worth fighting for. This great day of compromise, don't you think it'd be a lot easier on a preacher just to come in, preach a little tickling something, shake hands with everybody and see y'all next week? But boy, when you get to preaching on sin, you get to preaching against the devil and this warfare and these battles, let me tell you something, you're going to find out He would love for you to just quit your fight. Did you know every day of my life, I'd have thought this, Brother Donald, Brother Jake, y'all men are older than me. I'm 53 years old. I've been preaching, I guess, 26, 7 years. I would have thought by now, Brother Wendell. Brother Steve, I'd have thought by now. Brother Mike, I'd have thought by now, the older that I'd got, that it'd get easier. But I declare, Brother Jerry, it's getting harder. You know, this old man, the older he gets, boy, he's tricky, ain't he? By the time you think you got him down, he'll raise his old head up, stick his head up and let you know I'm still alive, put him back down and kill him again. And go on with God, because God is good to us. He'd love for you to just quit. Let me ask you something. Now listen, I'm closing. It's just 10 after 12. Just 10 after 11 of you in the real world. No church tonight. You can take a couple hours of preaching. Listen to me. Don't you think if the devil could get you offended, get you out of where God wants your family, He'd do that? Church, don't you think that in a church it's like raising children? Don't, and your children fell down and your children done some things on your carpet you wouldn't proud of? So did you just sweep them off and throw them out back? No, you forgave them, brushed them off, loved them, give them a bath. So it is in the church, we all make mistakes. But we ain't got to get crazy. And the devil would love for you just to give up your fight. It's a fight to live for God. It don't get easier the older you get. It's a fight. Young people, it's a fight to live for God. Church, it's a fight. Then, you see, the giants of the fort. He loves to devour the flock, get you to deny the faith, get you to distort your focus, get you to discontinue your fight. But He would love for you to discredit your favor. I'm going to tell you something. I've seen in verse 47, the Bible said, "All this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands." I'm glad I've got favor with God. I'm on the Lord's side. Wonderful side.